Welcome to Screen Space 12, Usability and Usability Testing 101, Part 2, Selecting Users. Welcome to Screen Space, your podcast about creating usable, accessible, effective, and efficient web, blog, and digital media design for the everyday and non-expert designer. This is episode 12 of Screen Space, Usability and Usability Testing 101, Part 2, Selecting Users. In this episode, I will discuss the first part of usability testing, user analysis and selection. I will talk about determining who your users are going to be for your testing and deciding how many users to test. There will be about four more parts to this series, walking you through the steps to conducting and analyzing usability testing of your web, blog, or digital media. Go back to Screen Space 11, Usability and Usability Testing 101, for my discussion on what usability is, a definition of usability testing, and an outline of the steps to conduct a usability test. You may also find Screen Space 10 on user-centered design helpful too. I am your host, Dr. Jennifer L. Bowie. I teach and conduct research in areas related to digital media, web, and blog design. To start with, welcome new listeners from Melbourne, Australia, Abuja, Nigeria, and Ottawa, Canada. Enjoy, design well, and let me know if there's anything you would like me to cover. In this episode, I will cover determining your users, creating user profiles, and choosing user profiles to test, and deciding how many users to test. I will continue working in this episode with the same example I introduced in episode 11 to illustrate how to apply the steps of usability testing. Imagine you have a photography blog with a decent-sized audience. You want to get some more users and see how usable the blog is for your current users. So let's get going into part two, selecting users. Determine the users. First, you need to determine who the users of your web, blog, or digital media are. Ask yourself, who are your actual users? If you can, actually find out through surveys, analytics, and other methods. If not, think about who you are writing to. Conduct a basic user analysis. It is possible you may have even more than one group of users. If so, determine your various user types. You may find it helpful to consider a variety of typical user categories to determine your users, such as demographics. Consider age, sex, race, educational level, cultural background, socioeconomic status, and other demographic information. From this, create demographic profiles of your users or user groups. This will allow you to visualize your audience. Also, experience level. Analyze user experience levels with the product, with products of the same genre, and with acquired technology. This will allow you to test users who have similar background experiences as your user groups. Use types and needs. Determine what types of use and needs bring your users to your site, blog, or other media. Users who are coming for general information may be quite different than users who are interested in making a purchase or leaving a review. What do they need from the site? Why are they there? Determining the use types and needs will allow you to further differentiate users and help with the later steps of usability testing. Other areas. Consider also a variety of other user differences and possibilities, such as motivation. Are they motivated? Do they want to be there? Do they want to be doing what they're doing? Buying concert tickets leads to much different motivation levels than paying taxes, at least for most people. I know I prefer to buy tickets over pay taxes any day. Learning style. What are their learning styles? For example, are they visual learners, auditory learners? Do they learn by movement? What type of learners are they? Subject matter knowledge. How much do they know about the subject matter of your site? Location of use. Where will they use your site, blog, or media? Home? Work? On a laptop? Tablet? Desktop? Phone? On the go? All of these things can impact the types of users that you have. Physical characteristics. Do they have any physical characteristics that may impact use? This may be a more valid determination for a physical product, but still consider how the body may interact with your site and what physical characteristics your users have that matter to this interaction. This leads us to the final category, disabilities or impairments. do consider any disabilities or impairments your users may have, from colorblindness and learning disabilities to much more severe disabilities. Once you've considered these various areas, you should be prepared to move on to the next step, creating user profiles. Create user profiles. To create your user profiles, you need to break your users into clear subgroups, likely based on the differences you found when considering demographics, experience level, use types and needs, and other areas. You then need to profile or define the characteristics of each subgroup. For the photography blog, you may find you have two general audiences, group one or fans, middle-aged, middle-class American users with limited photography experience and a love of art. They come to the blog to look at photos, to get tips on taking better photos with their digital point-and-shoot cameras, and possibly buy or download some of your photos. These people are fans of your work, and thus the group name. Group 2, photographers. A slightly younger group of users with more tech-savvy and photography experience who are amateur photographers themselves. Slightly more experienced photographers than that fan group. Some have their own photography blogs. They tend to have household incomes ranging from $50,000 to $150,000 and are likely to spend money on technology and photography equipment. They come to the site to see what other photographers are doing, to build a photography community and to support your work, and to get and share more advanced photography tips. As you can see from these two profiles, your user groups are rather different and different in ways that can impact your site design and your usability testing of that site. You may also want to develop personas for each group that you find. Personas are fictional characters that represent your group. They make it easier to picture and consider your audience and allow for a deeper focus on the user's needs and goals. A good persona has a name, a picture, and background information. I'll discuss personas in detail in a later episode, and we'll link to a decent short article on personas in the transcript for more information done by the usability.gov website. Next step, choose user profiles to test. Once you have your user profiles, you need to choose which user profiles you will test. Ideally, you'll test users from all major profiles, in this case, the fans and the photographers. However, some sites have a huge number of user profiles or there's limited time or funds, and it may not be possible to test each profile. In that case, choose profiles based on the highest number of users, so your biggest group of users, or profiles that you think may have the greatest usability issues. So in our case, the fans may have a greater usability issues because they're not as tech savvy as the photographer group. As an everyday and non-expert designer, you may not even be able to do this. If the photography blog is simply a hobby, you may need to do what is called convenience sampling. Select users or even non-users that you have access to, even if they're not from your user profiles. You may test using your spouse, a parent, the babysitter you hire to watch your kids, a coworker, and some friends. Even if these are not ideal users, still test. You can learn some very important information on how your site, blog, or media really works from simply watching people, any people, use it. I recently had someone, a student actually, test her grandmother on a site for a much younger audience. But she got some vital information from watching her grandmother attempt the usability tasks. She used the information from the testing to redesign a much more usable site for all of her users, including her newest user, her grandmother. Decide how many users to test. Last step in the selecting users part of the testing process is to decide how many users to test. This may seem like an easy part, but this is a hotly debated topic in usability testing. I kid you not. Usability testing people sit around and debate this, write articles on it. Huge debate. Jacob Nielsen, a web usability guru, wrote a well-cited article, Why You Only Need to Test with 5 Users. Since this article, the number 5 is often given as the answer to how many users should I test. But anyone who suggests 5 has not read the whole article, and maybe just the title. Nielsen suggests 5 users if you're doing iterative testing, and he suggests 3 iterations, which has an ending result of 15 users, not just 5. Based on his research, he found that 15 users will give you almost 100% of the usability problems. He also suggests fewer users from your user profile per iteration if you're testing different groups of users, thus ending up with a similar overall number of users or even more. So if you had 2 users profiles like we do, you might choose to test three from each group three times. So each tester's testing six, and for three tests, that would be 18 users. Due to the misunderstanding of Nielsen's message on the number of users, many other usability researchers have suggested and researched other numbers. For instance, on page 382, Faulkner suggests that 20 users, quote, to approach increasing levels of certainty that a high percentage of existing usability problems have been found in testing. As she discovered, 20 users found about 95% of the usability problems. Jared Spool and Will Schrodinger also studied the problem of the number of users, and based on their results, project 90 users may be necessary, but that's for a very complex site. I would not suggest going as high as 90 users unless you have a very large and complex site, blog, or media. For most websites, blogs, and media, I would suggest Nielsen's iterative testing with 5 users and 3 iterative tests for resulting 15 or so users. But for more casual websites, blogs, and digital media, like what you may be working on, I suggest any number of users you can manage. Any number. Even testing with a single user is helpful. Nielsen found a single user will often uncover almost 1/3 of usability problems. A few users is great. 3 gets you about 2/3 of your usability problems, and 5 gets you about 80% of the problems. So don't worry about the numbers. Any testing that you can do is helpful. And that's how you select users for your usability testing. To summarize, first determine who your users are, then create user profiles of your major user groups, next choose which profiles to test, and then finally decide how many users to test. Remember, a single user is 33% better than none. That wraps up Usability Testing 101, Part 2, Selecting Users. Join me next week for the first of the Computers and Writing interviews. We'll start with Lars Sutterlund's interview on Gradual Growth Web Design, Guides, Regularity, and Product, or Guns, Ruin, Picnics, and listen to find out what that means. In 2 weeks, we'll hear from Sarah Brown on personal branding and online identity construction. I will return to the Usability and Usability Testing 101 series after the interviews. If you have questions, comments, or thoughts on what you want me to cover, please send me an email at jbowie@screenspace.org. Or check out the ScreenSpace blog, www.screenspace.org. You can also follow ScreenSpace, screen_space, on Twitter for hints, tips, advice, news, and information on designing websites, blogs, and other digital media texts. Also, check out the blog for a transcript of this podcast complete with links and resources. Have fun and design well. ScreenSpace is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives Works 3.0 United States license. So feel free to send a copy to all your users, but don't change the podcast. Do give me and ScreenSpace credit and don't make any money off of it. ScreenSpace's opening music today is African Dance by Yappa Yay off of the Headroom Project, and the closing music is Survival by Beth Quist off of Shall We Dance. Both the selections are available from Magnatune.